Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Trotten's den Regen auf mein Kopf. Pink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Kopf. Geht mir kein Sach mit.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold. And this week, we have the one and only unbelievable, incredible, respected, just awesome acting coach to the stars, Margie Haber. And she has a new book out called Fuck Your Comfort Zone. But the you and fuck is an asterisk because God forbid you actually write fuck on the cover of a book. And it is sort of a life. It's like a life lesson book. You do not have to be an actor to enjoy this book or use all the tools inside of it. It's really you'll hear she's, you know, acting coach to Brad Pitt, Tiffany Haddish, like so. Just, you're going to love it. So she's on this week. It's part one of my conversation with her. We totally hit it off, like connection central. So it was real. And there was a lot of time where, you know, we were on Zoom and she would like get up and act something out. It was really fun. So hopefully we can post those videos. Also, I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I just want you to know that I made the turkey. The stuffing, I made carrot pudding. It's called carrot kugel, but it's carrot pudding. It's so good. And I made cranberry sauce for like 25 people. Okay? So don't ever say, I don't do anything. And it was, you know, there was a lot of people and we had fun and I fell asleep in the lazy boy. And it was, you know, the usual Thanksgiving. Although I don't know about you, I find Thanksgiving, like most holidays, to be just fraught with anxiety and everyone has to be happy and oh my God, hello. And you're like, oh my God, what's going on? And the same conversations. But I had so much fun. So Elise's family, Elise's family is so fucking nice and they're a lot of fun. So it was fun and I ate a lot and it was delicious. So, but that, you know, like all these people post shit about, you know, all their food and everything. And I never do that because I'm always like, well, there's so many people who can't afford food or can't, you know, be with their families or they're alone or I don't know. And I just feel guilty and I don't post it. Is that stupid? I think that's kind of stupid. Anyway, also just wanted to say that I can't even believe Club Q. I don't even, it's so upsetting. These assaults on LGBTQ spaces. I can't believe the Walmart shit. These fucking guns. I don't care. I don't care. I know you have your Second Amendment right, but it's not for an assault weapon. It's fucking ridiculous. I can't take it anymore. This is number one. This is the number one cause of death among children. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like this, what the fuck? Okay, so that's that. Fuck you, Kanye. Fuck you and fuck your nasty anti-Semitic comments. I'm sick of it. The anti-Semitism. I'm really upset about Tweetar and Elon. What a fucking, he's like a 2-year-old, isn't he? Like, oh, I have this new, I'm head of the playground now and I'm going to be a, and attacking Vindman. I love Vindman. I want to get him on. I want to get him, Alexander Vindman, on the podcast. I love him so much. I got great feedback from the Al Franken. So thank you all. And yeah, I don't know what else to tell you. It's cold. I don't like the cold, but it is what it is because you know what? It's November and I'm 60. I'm 60 fucking years old. I can't believe I'm 60. Elisa, the best party ever. The best party and roast ever. She is a keeper. Like I was going to get anyone else. So yeah, that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. Let's see what happens this week. It's only Tuesday. So yeah, sure. Some really great things are about to happen. It's just really, I don't know. It's just sad, sad what goes on in this country. But you know what? It doesn't matter because you are about to listen to one of the greatest interviews I've done. You're going to really have so much fun with Margie Haber. So sit back, relax. And enjoy part one of my interview with Margie Haber. Ladies, gentlemen, they, thems, which I actually said that last night. I now say ladies and gentlemen and they, thems. And I did it last night. I was interviewing Phil Rosenthal at the Stryker Center for his new book. And I said, ladies and gentlemen and they, thems. And everyone started laughing. So, I mean, I guess it's. We'll talk about that, but I can't stop. It is in my, for, you know, 40 years I've been getting on stage saying, ladies and gentlemen. And it's like to get rid of that is, you know what I need? I need Margie Haber, acting coach.
That's right.
Of to the stars. You know, I would say, and Margie has this book out, Fuck Your Comfort Zone, which I enjoyed. And now I think that you don't, I know that you don't have to be an actor to read this book. You just have to live in this world to read and be interacting with other people. This is a book really for everyone. And I want you to be my acting coach.
I'm there, Judy. What do you want to, what's your role that you would
like? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Margie Haber's here. Okay. Oh. Margie, I was so fascinated. I was fascinated by the book. And I, of course, when I first got it, I immediately went to, what page was this? I immediately went to the,
got my book.
Does your armor serve you? I went to chapter 4.
Yeah.
Because as a comedian, you know, I don't know if you know, I also have a book out called Yes, I Can Say That. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, about free speech. From the perspective of a comedian, you know, comedy is a weapon. It is a weapon. It is a coping mechanism. It is the truth. And since it's so powerful, you know, you know, a comedian really does what you say in this book, which is disarming the audience. And I related to the book on so many levels, which, of course, made me want to fucking fly out to Los Angeles.
I'm coming to New York. You don't have to fly out.
Really? When are you coming?
Next week. Next week.
I love you.
I haven't been back to New York in 3 years because of the pandemic.
Oh, there is a pandemic. Yeah.
There was.
Margie. Can I call you Margela?
My Aunt Shirley from heaven is saying, I can't believe someone actually is calling you Margela. It makes me cry. I love my Aunt Shirley.
Well, I hope you love me after this. Grew up. Don't try that hard. All right. Grew up, as we know, in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me, what do I have? You were born on March 30th.
That's right.
Born in Brooklyn.
76 trombones.
You look great.
No work done. No work done.
Same.
My mother's jeans. That's all it is. My mother died. One and a half.
Oh, you're my lucky.
It's my mother's jeans. Yeah.
My mother. My mother never went in the sun and had beautiful skin. Even when she was like in her 90s, they were like, your skin is incredible. But so you were born in 1946 in Brooklyn. Your mother lived to almost 101. And she
101 and a half. Judy, don't get rid of that half. 101
and a half. 101
and a half.
Sorry. Taught you that the gift of life is love and laughter.
Yes. Correct.
Smart woman. Correct. Smart woman.
And quite a beautiful woman. My mother was a concert pianist. She played in Carnegie Hall when she was 9 years old. She won for Chopin. My father was an opera singer. My sisters, Lois and Joan, were always to sit around the piano in Cedarhurst, Long Island with the baby grand. And I was 7 years old and I would stare at my sisters and my mom and dad. And my life was filled with music and love. I mean, that's why I'm such a lover because of my family. They're wonderful people.
You are really lucky. I studied music that was my major in college, but I have to practice and practice. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I love music more than anything else. And
me too.
And surround it. I mean, that's just the visual of you saying, you know, being a 7 year old girl, you know, watching your family sit around a piano and create art.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I got to say that the reason, you know, one of the many things why I became a creator, I don't call myself an acting coach anymore. I call myself a creator. I help people create. I always use music when I create a life. When we do a slice of life, I call it a slice of life instead of a scene. I always tell my students, everyone has to live in the world of music because everyone has their own music. But if you want to live the life of Margie Haber, you're going to have to go back to Judy Garland because I was obsessed with Judy Garland. I got to meet Judy Garland. I know Judy Garland. I was at her funeral. I was completely influenced by her. I was gay. I didn't know at the time I was gay. So everything about her, because she was so wonderful to all these injured gay people, made me who I am today. And when you create a life, if you don't bring music into it, you're not living the life.
Oh, so 100.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had Lorna Luft, half a bell.
Oh, I know.
I had Lorna Luft on the show and we spoke so much about her mother and her mother and what a wonderful human being she was and the legacy she left on Lorna, you know, and you know, the shit she went through.
Horrible.
That she would, you know, it just makes so much sense that she would want to embrace and help the marginalized. Judy Garland.
I remember when I was young and I'd go to her concerts and I remember being in Forest Lawn and it was 1960, in the 60s. And we stood there waiting for her to come back and saying, we love Judy. We love you, Judy. And eventually she came back. She sat on the edge of the stage. We all walked over to her and she just knew how to say, I'm here for you. She really taught me about connection. It was because I was gay and because I was living a secret, which is why I wrote this book a lot, because I out myself a lot in the book.
You do, and I love that.
I do. And I'm, you know, and I'm really, I'm Jewish, I'm gay, I'm everything. And you, you know, thank you. Every time I say Jew, I forget that. Bing. Uh-huh. But everybody has their secrets. And when you understand that you are only as sick as your secrets, you understand that chapter you're talking about.
Yes.
Because, you know, Tiffany Haddish, the great
comic. Oh, I have her in my notes.
Yes.
Yes. Tiffany, I mean, Tiffany came to me when she was homeless.
Right.
You know, she was really... she did not want to go to the drama. I am not going to the drama, Margie. I'm only doing comedy. That's all I do. And I said, but she started to trust me. And when she started to trust me, she allowed herself to go to places that are very challenging for comics, for anyone that lives a comedic person, right? Because I did comedy. I did stand-up comedy in the Jewish Alps and Catskill Mountains. I know how challenging it is. Thank you. But this, when she came to me, she had such an armor around her. And she said, this is what I do. Margie, don't touch that part of me. Eventually I said, I want to know who you are. I want to connect with you. And her sadness, her pain, her love all came through. And she hated
me. I should also ring the bell for Tiffany. Go ahead.
You should. And she has Jewish blood in her too. Yeah. And so anyway, the bottom line is that it was very helpful to her because she learned that it was okay to be vulnerable. It was okay to be open. But you have to trust yourself and trust another human being.
Yeah, that, I think it's, you know, for me, it's trusting another human being.
That's the truth. It's hard.
It's really hard. What did I want to say? Well, first of all, I love that you did stand. I think that, you know, I say this to so many people that the best people who work in the stand-up business, you know, club owner, booker, agent, whatever, are people who've actually tried it. But I have a question for you. You know, I hear people are always like, you know, dramatic actors can't do comedy, but comedians can do drama. I mean, do you think stand-up comedy is a skill that will aid someone in becoming a better actor? I mean, I know you give me a comedic script. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where the laughs are supposed to be. I know. Mm-hmm. And because I'm, you know, music and comedy are hand in hand. It's all about timing. Right. One syllable can change, you know, a joke. Do you think it's harder for dramatic actors to do comedy than it is for?
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting question. Nobody's asked me that question. So let me put up my thinking cap on for this nice Jewish bing bell.
Yeah.
I would say to you that it's an interesting question. I think I've worked with a lot of stand-up comics. I also work with a lot of musical comedy people. So I did the whole show, for example, the whole cast of Phantom of the Opera. And working with them because they wanted me they wanted this production to be more intimate. And they're so used to going, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
You're out here. Da, 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 da. And I grew up I did a musical comedy. So I know, and I did, if they could see me now, that little gang of mine.
Sing out, Louise. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I did. And so I know about showing versus sharing.
Yes.
And what I think was very difficult for stand-up comics and musical comedy actors is they're so used to performing that they don't know how to do what I call take a dance with another. So when you're taught to perform, which is what I was taught with the music, you know, and did Pacific Light Opera stuff, when I was taught that when I was young, no one really taught me that it's really not that. It's a conversation. So when I work with stand-up comics or I work with people that are musical theater, I know this is not exactly answering your question, but it's got to do with that. I help them to say, okay, it's about the listening is just as important as the talking. And most people don't listen. And when you're doing stand-up comedy, you're just like, got the jokes, here we go. So I just worked with somebody who, her name is Fiona Goodwin, and she's actually a lesbian, and she has a show that she does, The Very British Lesbian.
Oh, yes. And her Goodwin, would that be
Fiona Goodwin?
Bell?
She's a friend of mine.
Would that be a Bell?
No, she's a British non-Jew. Go ahead. She's a Shiksa.
She's the Shiksa.
Can you let Shiksa people on your show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I have shows with multiple bell ringing.
If they stup a Jew, don't you consider that also?
Oh, yeah. The bell actually, just so you know, it's really an homage to my mother, rest in peace, that the way I grew up, I've never really explained the bell. You do bring it all out, Marge.
I do.
Margela.
We need 3 hours, but go ahead.
Yeah. So the bell is sort of my conscience because my parents and my mother especially was so proud to be a Jew. And of course, you know, my parents were born in 1916 and 1922. And my father served in, you know, the war over in London. And in my house growing up, because I had older parents, all the other parents were 20 years younger than them. But she really would anything related to Jews, she would we're watching TV and it would be like Jew, married a Jew, anti-Semitic, grandfather was Jewish, converted, you know, and she made us so aware that of our space in the world. And so I actually do it because that's how I'm thinking, oh, a Jew did that, or she's Jewish. And it's sort of to make other people see.
Well, because the world is so fucked up now.
Oh, it's so anti-Semitic.
It couldn't be a better time to say hello, everybody. Every time I ring the bell, I am giving support and letting people in the world say, see, this Jewish person deserves to be who he is or she is today. And thank you for all your contribution.
Yes. And also,
thank you for their contribution.
Right.
And that's what you're saying. Thank you for their contribution.
Yes, exactly. And so that is what the bell is all about.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Okay,
thank you. I'll just go back to what we're saying and saying to you, thank you, because I understand that. And I also think it's wonderful to say this, Judy, that with all the humor that both of us do, because the guy who works for me, Hamish, says, I can't even imagine Hamish? You and Judy Gold. Hamish. He's not Hamish. He's not a Hamish, a Jew.
Oh,
he's
God British. Damn it. British. But that, it, what's with the Brits? That is.
I know.
Very Hamish British. Is a Jewish word. Okay.
I know. He's a Hamish a guy. He's a Hamish yeah. a guy. I mean, I also got all the Yiddish. Yeah, I got all the Yiddish when I was a kid. But he said that. I said, because we can relate. And so we know about that. But what also is basically, there's that, the mask, the mask of humor, but underneath it is the pain that the Jews sadness. Have gone through.
Yeah.
The sadness of people, what people are going through now, the love of who we are. So it's a wonderful way to bring out that. I'm glad you shared it with everybody.
You
and
know
I'm
what?
Used to being the podcast person, so I have to give you that.
Oh, thank you. Marjola.
Marjola.
No one's
called me Marjola, but Aunt Shirley, I can't get over it.
I Which love you.
I call my sisters. Lois, Joan, I'm on.
Lois, Joan, listen.
I'm on a podcast with
Lois and Joan. I just want to say that that I am writing a show about my book, about, you know, what it's like to what it was like to, you know, be able to say whatever you want and now being told you can't. And so I am obsessed with humor and the Holocaust. And I just got this book about it's sort of a an academic type book. I got it from whatchamacallit, Yad Vashem. And it's literally how all these prisoners used humor to remain alive. Like the point
to survive.
To survive. To feel human, to feel like a human being.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you got this book is so rich.
Would you text it to me? Because I am obsessed. Get ready. I'm obsessed with Holocaust books. I mean, it's a crazy thing.
Marjola, we're like sisters.
I'll be in New York next week.
Okay.
No, I mean, I am so obsessed with it.
I have to meet you.
I know. I absolutely love it. And getting back to the British Fiona, you know, Fiona, I was telling you about that.
Yes.
Is that she has a stand-up comic. I've worked with her on her show. I'll be happy to help you too, Judy, if you ever want me to.
Yes, I do. I'm trying to lay the seeds.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I can see. So I worked with her, and one of the big things that I helped her with is silence and allowing other people to receive, because it's so easy to keep it going, but then to literally have silence, that is very frightening to many people.
Oh, and just letting that be. Especially a comedian. You know, right. It's funny that you say that. Because when you were talking about, you know, comedians becoming actors, and I purposely started taking acting classes and took them all through.
Yeah.
I went to HB and I studied with Steven Strimpel, and I constantly took acting classes while I was doing stand up because I wanted to have that skill. And, you know, it is the listening. And I think, you know, that really can make you a better comic.
It is.
And sure. I'm not, I mean, maybe it's cause I've been doing it for so long, but I'm not afraid of silence anymore. And I think cause I've done dramatic theater and stuff that I, you know, I'm not afraid of it anymore, but it's, you know, when you're it's great to control the laughter, but when you're controlling the silence, I mean, there's nothing more powerful.
Yeah. Right.
Don't
you know, I think what's powerful, you know, in my book, I talk a lot about control, letting go of control.
Yes.
Like my first chapter. And I find that it's so difficult because we all want to do it perfectly. We all want to do it right or do it well. I teach, whether it be an actor or a person getting up to do a speech or a corporate person, about the opportunity of mistakes are your friends. To embrace your imperfections, to how beautiful it is when people fuck up. I mean, because you do that, you're human. Why do we wait to the end of a movie
to
because
show?
We want to see those outtakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, actors have been trained to dot their I's, cross their T's. I have this guy, and one of the things I'm doing is coming to New York to also visit my student who's on a new series called Girls in the Bus. He's not Jewish, okay, no bells, but what a guy, Brandon Scott, and. I work with him twice a week now that he's in New York. But here's a guy, he's in my book, who talks about his fearful child. Because my favorite part of the book, if I might say, Judy, or at least one of them, is the five voices, that the five ego states. You know, I mean, there's the nurturing parent, the critical parent, the fearful child, the playful child, and the adult. And it's so easy to get stuck in the fearful child and to hear that voice so loud. And so easy for the critical voice, the critical parent's voice, to get way too loud. So the only way to help that is to raise the nurturing parent voice and to raise the adult and the playful child. And he is a very successful actor. He was on the series Dead to Me, Goliath, now the series. And he still, like all actors, suffers from, am I enough? You know, is it okay to not make mistakes? And you should, the way he, it's so beautiful, Judy, to see people all of a sudden realizing, wow, I actually like that. I like making mistakes. It makes me human.
Right. You know, when I do it on stage, I think it's hilarious. And the audience loves me more for it. Like, I'm like, always. Can you believe I just fucking said that? Marjola, you...
Judula.
You started out actually in the business as an actress at 24, wanting to be discovered. And in 1968, you went to a private session with a voice coach.
Oh, should I tell that story?
Yes. And
one of my favorite stories.
I love this story.
Okay,
it is the greatest story. And wait, I have something else. And we're going to talk about, I want to make sure we talk about how when I came out of the closet.
Yes.
On stage in 1996 and how it completely changed the trajectory of my career. But I would never, I couldn't sleep. So that whole idea of being in the closet and secrets and stuff. But I love the story about you.
It's okay. Oh, don't tell who it is. Okay.
I'm not saying.
Okay. Don't. Okay. So it was actually 1969, I think. Or maybe.
Oh my God. Anyway. I have done so much research on you. God damn it.
I know. Very good. Very good. Okay. So it could be 68. I think I don't know. Anyway, it was during that time. I went to Ithaca College. And I graduated Ithaca College, and I went to Brooklyn Graduate School in speech pathology and audiology. So I was.
And you developed the Haber phrasing.
It's another whole thing. Yes. So anyway, so I had this friend, Jeff, and he said to me, I need to change my singing lesson. Would you mind changing it with me? And as whatever force you believe in, God or whatever.
Right. Is Jeff Jewish, by the way?
Yes, he is. Hit the bell.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I should have told you that. My bad. Anyway, so he says, okay, I'll switch with you. So I went to New York, and I'm always obsessively early. I cannot stand being late. So I get in, and there's this, in 1968, 69, there is this woman. She looks so familiar to me. She's beautiful, black, gorgeous woman. And she says, hi, I'm Mary Wilson from The Supremes, Diana Ross's Supremes. She didn't say Diana Ross. I'm Mary Wilson. I knew who Mary Wilson was. I went, hi, Mary. So nice to meet you. My favorite group was Diana Ross's Supremes.
Okay, and where was this in the studio? Like, is she leaving a studio?
She was at my singing lesson, Teddy Hall lesson. What Teddy Hall was a very unusual singing coach.
Okay.
She was very, very heavy. She would sit on your stomach and you'd put a bottle in your mouth and you go, and then
to teach you how to use your diaphragm.
Breathe. Yeah. Diaphragm. And so Mary was on the floor going, and I was laughing because of course
that's the first image you have of her.
That's the first image
is
of
this,
Mary.
This heavy woman sitting on her stomach. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Hilarious. Quite big.
Yeah. Not Jewish, Teddy. Not Jewish, Mary. But anyway, we'll ring for her anyway because I love her so much. But so she said, would you like to hear my new song? I said, oh yeah. She said, come on in. And I said, okay. She starts singing, you're just too good to be true. Oh. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. That's how sexy she was. And I'm like, oh my God, come sing with me. She said, oh, I'm going to be at the Waldorf. Tonight, would you like to come here, Diane, Cindy, and myself? So Teddy and I went together. And that was the beginning of our friendship that became one of the most beautiful friendships, 56 years of friendship. Judy, I can't even tell you. It's very hard for me because she died last year.
Right.
And we were friends for 56 years. Let me show you a picture. This is us when we were young. Check this out.
Oh, my God.
Many pictures.
That is such a great photo.
I know. And yeah, that was when she was at Caesars. And, you know, what she said to me, she became my best friend. And she said, why don't you move to California? Oh, no. What happened was she said, come here. The Supremes are coming to an end. Diana Ross Supremes. Why don't you come to here? Come to the last 2 weeks of my show. And I was a speech therapist in Roosevelt Long. I took the time off. I went to Vegas and I was there every day. So what we did every day is that they would do the show till 2 a.m. at the Frontier Hotel, 1969. That's what it's a borderline 68.
I got you.
And afterwards we would gamble till 4 a.m. Then we'd sleep from 4 a.m. till 1 a.m. And this would be the way it would be. And I'd be sitting there with Berry Gordy at the blackjack table. Blackjack table. Berry Gordy, George Hamilton, Diane. We don't call her Diana. Diana Ross, Diane, Cindy, and Mary, myself. That would be our table. And this would be every night. And then she said to me, why don't you move to California? I said, I can't move to California. I don't have the money. You'll live with me. So I was joking.
Oh my God.
So I said, okay. So I'm living with home. I'm living home in Long Island in Hewlett with my parents. I was 23 years old, finished, you know, graduated. Thank you. Getting my master's at Brooklyn Graduate School. And so I said, just finishing up my master's. And I said to my mother, I'm going to go for the summer to live with Mary. And I said, okay, they were so wonderful about it. Have a great time. Because I thought there was only going to be the summer. And what a summer it was, Judy. I mean, the first time I get there, what happens? I see this. A week later, I was invited to the Clint Eastwood tennis tournament.
What? So wait.
Pebble Beach tournament.
You go. All right. So from that lesson, she's like, come see my show. And then you bond after the show. And it just.
Oh, she'd come in every 3 months. She'd stay with me in Long Island.
Oh my God.
The only black person that was ever in my house was my
cleaning. Oh my God.
There's not a black woman there are no black people in Hewlett or Cedars.
Wow.
Or no, not even a non-Jewish person. I mean, it was like.
That's awful. But so.
Terrible.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. You don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin. So do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
So you go out there. I mean, you're so young. Are you pinching yourself? Are you like, oh my God, is this really fucking happening to me?
You know what? It was. I don't know, Judy. No one's ever asked me that before, too. I'm loving this interview. I think you and I should get married, but okay. I'm married. By the way, I'm married. I have a woman.
Yeah, I have a Lisa. Is she Jewish, your girlfriend?
No, she's a Shiksa.
What? I'm very upset.
I know, it's very sad.
What about my son?
Jewish.
All right.
Very Jewish.
Okay.
Michael.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, go ahead.
So
were you like...
I was in such a high. Because I don't think I thought about it. If I thought about it, I wouldn't have gone. It would have been too scary. I fucked my comfort zone from the moment I was young. I didn't have anything else to worry about. I didn't have any children. It was the freest time of my life. So when I went there and it was like a snowball effect, and here I go to Clint Eastwood tennis tournament, and there is Clint Eastwood, and there is James Gardner, and there are all these, and then people would come over to the house, the Temptations, the Four Tops. We'd take our little drugs. And then I danced with Michael Jackson when he was 10 years old.
Oh my God.
And I threw him in the pool. And he, you know, it was surreal. And played poker with Dionne Warwick and Leslie Uggams and Nancy Wilson.
I love Leslie Uggams. I just did a show with Leslie Uggams. She's the classiest. Oh, I love her.
You're very, very classy. It was just a time, Judy.
Married a Jew.
Yeah, thank goodness. It was just a time where I tell my students, it was a time of my life where 24 hours were 38 to 40 hours. Later on in my life, I became an owner of a studio. I became an obsessive teacher. I have a child. My whole life has been about how can I take moments for myself? You know what I mean? So I get 2 hours a day instead of 24.
So I'm curious as to...
Mm-hmm. Curious, good. That's my thing.
Yes. As to, you know, I mean, I have a son who's 26, a son who's 21, and two sons, both good. Jewish. And, you know, I remember being, you know, 24, 20, you know, I remember that age. I assume that had you been 10 years older, none of this would have happened. You would have been, but right. I also want to know I can't imagine calling my parents up and saying,
right,
you know, I'm living with Mary Wilson. I just went to the Clint Eastwood tennis. What'd you do last night, Modula? I was gambling with. Mary Gordy and Diana. What? What did you eat? What? What? Did you eat with them? What did they? I can't even, like.
It's surreal. It's a surreal.
But it's also
experience.
Like, I would think because I'm so young, this is how showbiz works, that it just keeps going on like this and on like this, which I know better now that. So you never thought about like, why is this happening to me? Or do I deserve this? Or
hold on, let me think about that. That's a good question. Another good question from Judy. I'll ring the bell every time you do a good question.
Okay.
That was like three good questions. I was in such awe. You know, there's this nice Jewish girl. Bing, 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 bell. Nice Jewish girl who... I never even met a Black person before. I mean, that's how sheltered I was and how unfortunate I was that it was such a prejudice growing up area, right? And here I am with every you know, I dated Eddie Kendricks for about 15 minutes in between. Yeah. Before. Yeah.
Wow.
It's my whole life was just so, I didn't think I had time to think about it, except thinking, my God, soak it in. This is the most incredible time of my life.
Right.
All right. I think that I had a smile on my face for many years.
Oh, I'm sure. But when you came home to see your family, while you were experiencing this, what happened? Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, because what happened is during this, I remember I thought I was going to go home. So I thought this was all just going to be a summer.
Temporary.
I had a job in Roosevelt, Long Island to go back to be a speech teacher there. And I love working with kids. It was a summer thing. So I didn't have any fear based on it. It was your comfort zone experience for a summer. Right. And then as the summer progressed and it went along, I decided, well, I'll just go. And I loved it. I loved California. I mean, how could you not love it? I missed my mother I've missed my parents every Sunday. I cried. Oh, I always cried for them because I'm very, very close to my family. So, and my sisters, very, very close. But I was in this incredible, I didn't think about the consequences of not seeing them. I was too young to think about that, right? I didn't know what it would mean like to move 5 billion miles away. So I went on this interview, which was such a fascinating interview in Culver City School District with this woman, Keith Mitchell. I didn't have a bra. I never wore a bra during that time. I was completely a rebel. And I had this great, great conversation with her. And then we ended, and I figured I'd never get the job because I was so out there, so crazy. I was much crazier then than I am today, but I'm still crazy. So I'm getting ready to go to leave. I figured I'm leaving in 3 days. I had a nice interview. I said goodbye to Mary. I said goodbye to my friends. I said goodbye. It was a great life. I'm going to call my mother. I'm coming home. Keith calls me. He says, I talked to the board. I want you. I convinced them to hire you. You start, blah, blah, in 2 weeks. So here I was, starting in Culver City, canceled my thing in Long Island. And then I told my parents I wasn't coming home. But
what
I
was that phone call
registered.
Like? All right, ready?
Hello.
Hi, Mom.
How are you? What did you eat?
I had some chopped liver.
Oh, terrific. Okay, good.
I love my chopped liver. So I'm, it all fell into place, which I didn't think it would be. It looks like I've got a job in Culver City School District, and I'm going to be here. Yeah.
What was your father's name?
Murray.
Murray, pick up the phone! Murray, get on the phone! It's Marge! Okay.
God, we have to do this at least 4 hours.
I could do... Hello? Murray, she just said she's moving to, she's not coming. What? She's not coming home, Murray. Murray, she's not coming home. Wow.
Okay,
so were they
that
upset?
Is very funny. Okay, I will tell you something funny because you actually did the story. Your reaction was more the reaction of when I came out to my parents when I was 33 years old.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's another phone call.
That's a whole conversation. That's a whole other phone call. That's not a phone call. It was in person. But they did not do that. They were very, we love you. We want what's best for you. I'm sure they were dying inside because it was so.
And this is 1979, we're talking.
No, 1969.
No, you came out to them. I thought you were.
No. Go back. I'm talking about. Right. No, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking about when I moved. When I moved.
Right. When you moved was 69, and then 10 years later.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. But when I was 1969, when I said I'm moving, 1970, when I moved.
Right.
That's their reaction. Their reaction was very much, they did not want to put this on me. They wanted me to be happy. And they knew it was a great opportunity for me. And they loved me so much that they were willing to let me go. That was pure unconditional love, quite honestly.
So you're a Jew without the critical parent, which is interesting. Okay.
Well, no. I have my own huge critical parent.
Right.
But they did not They did not give me Jewish guilt for that, but we're not finished with my life. They didn't.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Margie Haber. So smart. So interesting. Part two is amazing, too. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards, who does everything else for me. Well, it's Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond, because she married a Jew and now her name is hyphenated. If you haven't subscribed or left a review, please do so. Five stars. Get my book. It's going to be Hanukkah Christmas. Yes, I can say that. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. And you're in trouble if you don't, you know, either listen to it or buy it. It's a great book. Also, check me. I'm still on Twitter. I don't know where the fuck to go. I don't know where to go. Can someone help me? I'm on Insta. I'm on TikTok, at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, because I'm Jewish and I'm proud to be a Jew. And fuck you, Kanye, you fucking asshole. And we should give him more attention, don't you think? We should really give him more attention. Anyway, let me tell you my dates. Oh, I forgot to tell my dates in the beginning. Fuck. Okay. So coming up, hold on. Let me look. I'm at B-Side Comedy this Saturday in Scarsdale, but that's sold out, so don't come to that. I am at the Chosen Comedy Festival on December 14th. That's in Miami Beach. Then I am at the Boca Black Box in Boca Raton on the 15th. I think that's the 15th. Check it out. Go to bocablackbox.com. I am doing Christmas Day at Stand Up New York. Stand Up New York, Christmas Day. Two shows, 4 and 7. Get your fucking asses there. You know you want to get away from your family. It's on the Upper West Side. It's going to be a really fun show. Just come and laugh. Oh, I'm at Sellersville, Pennsylvania on January 21st. And I'm at the DC Comedy Loft January 26th to 28th. And that's it. Right now, I have other gigs, but I can't read this calendar. It's too annoying. Anyway, so thank you all so much. I don't know who's listening to the end, but if I just updated my phone and I really fucking hate the new font on the time, like I'm blind. Oh, visually impaired. And let's see who listened to the end. I have been getting, by the way, I've been getting a lot of people who listen to the end. I just want to say that I know a lot of you listen to the end of the Al Franken episode because you love Al Franken. But I have people who've been listening to the end since before Al Franken. And I love you a little bit more than the other people. But I'm glad you... Thank you for listening to the end. Let's see. Did I do... I want to do a shout out. Listening to the end. I don't know who I did last week. But I'm going to shout out Michelle Abramson. Thank you, Michelle. I might have done her. So I'm going to do two. I'm going to do Michelle. I'm going to do Krista Halpin. I'm going to do three. Okay? Because I don't know if I did these and I have to keep better track of them. And I'm going to do Dana, who's at Harry Dolls, D-O-L-Z. Thank you for listening to the end. I love you all. What do you get? Nothing, because I don't have anything to give you. But at some point when I start making some money from this, we're going to have merch. And I'm going to give it to you. I should have merch anyway, right? I have kids. I can't afford all this shit. All these people like, oh, I'm going to pay for this. And then and I can't sell it. And anyway, I've been congested, but I'm feeling better. And I think it's because I put the humidifier. I set the humidifier to really high on my CPAP machine. So I'm not doing that anymore. But I do love my CPAP machine because I don't snore anymore. Anyway. I don't know what else to tell you. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. I love you all. And I can't wait to talk to you next week. And have a wonderful week. And stop hate. Stop it. I love you. And as we always say, so long.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.